around the world. The Spirit is moving and a voice is being heard. Welcome to the Voice of Evangelism with David Langford. You can write to the Voice of Evangelism at P.O. Box 502, Kayser, North Carolina, 28020. We'll give you that address again at the close of today's broadcast. But here now is David Langford.
Good evening, friends. David Langford here again today. We'd like to welcome everyone to the Voice of Evangelism International Ministry. Today is Tuesday, December the 27th, 2022. The year is gone. The next time I speak to you will be New Year's 2023. Time is swiftly passing by. Everyone is busy. Everyone is concerned about things in the world. Your focus must remain on Jesus, the Lord Christ. Whatever you magnify gets bigger. Psalms 34:3, David said, "Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together." Whatever you magnify gets bigger. Why don't you magnify the Lord instead of magnifying your problems? I spoke to you yesterday about discouragement. I wanted to encourage you with encouragement. We're going to pick that back up today in Genesis 41 about Joseph and how God in his sovereignty was working everything out in his life, height, depth, breadth, powers, principalities, everything that was transpiring in Joseph's life, God had his hand on the throttle of it all. Everything God had his hand on the throttle. And so it is with you, my friend. God does have his hand on your life for a time such as this. I do want to make mention, I'm so sorry for the profuse delay and the DVDs and CDs from the conference, the revival meeting we had back in September. We have them ready now. It's been quite a process. There's 8 DVDs total. I think actually 6 and then 2 CD audios with the music. And for a love gift of $55, that revival meeting will be made available to you. If you'd like a copy, you can get it on our website, or you can drop us a note in the mail or whatever and ask for the DVD set. There are 6 DVDs, 2 CDs, audio for the music in there, as I said, and for a love gift of $55. Again, we're not making money, time we pay the postage, etc. We're not here to make money. We trust God for the ministry. We believe God will keep us where we need to be kept. And we trust him for everything. There's nothing that we don't trust God for. We're a small ministry, but we love the word of the Lord, and we love God's people, and we want to reach the lost. I was in prayer this morning praying, God, give me favor with teenagers. Kind of a bizarre statement for a 67-year-old man, but they need to be saved. They need to be won to Christ. They need to have a relationship with Jesus. And I'm asking for God's favor to help me reach young people here in the time of the end. I want to play a song today that is very upbeat. It's entitled, "Let the Rocks Keep Silent." As one gentleman said, "I don't want no rocks crying out for me. Let them remain silent. I want to cry out to the Lord myself and magnify him." Amen.
Rivers flow to bring him joy,
as all creatures.
Are you going to praise the Lord in spite of the opposition, in spite of what you see, hear, and sense? Will by faith you worship and praise and magnify the Lord of glory? I want to pick back up today and encourage everyone. No matter who you are and where you are, everyone can use encouragement. We all need it. Life can be overwhelming and bring discouragement and despair into our lives and cause us to be discouraged. I want to pick back up where I left off yesterday, Genesis 41, verse 14. Then Pharaoh sent and called Joseph, and they brought him hastily out of the dungeon. And he shaved himself and changed his raiment and came in unto Pharaoh. Hastily. That word speaks volumes to my heart. God said in the book of Romans he would do a quick work in righteousness and cut it short. The two angels hastened Lot, though they were told the judgment of God was impending. The angels hastened Lot, his wife, his two daughters. The angels attempted to save the son-in-laws, but they chose not. They mocked Lot. We see here when the butler says to Pharaoh, there's a man that can interpret dreams, and he is absolutely accurate, absolutely correct. They brought Joseph hastily out of the dungeon, and he shaved himself and changed his raiment. Now, I want you to watch this. Remember, Jacob had given Joseph a coat of many colors. He lost it. That was a change of raiment. He's in Potiphar's house. Potiphar's wife seeks to seduce the man of God. He runs out of his raiment, or he runs out of his garment. That was the second time his raiment was changed. Now this is the third time. Remember, three means divine completeness. Nothing in the kingdom of God is by happenstance, by chance, by a whim, or by a caprice. No. It doesn't work like that with God. God is so infinite, we would never figure out how he does things, but there's always a consistency in God's patterns, like the number three. Completeness. Fullness. Finished. So this was the third time we read about Joseph having a change of raiment. Why? It took three changes. Maybe there were three stages in Joseph's life to get him to this particular place and posture wherein God could use him accordingly. Three. God is constantly making changes in your life, and I will reiterate it, you don't like the change, you don't like the process, all you do is grumble and bicker. I'm guilty. We're all guilty. We all grumble and bicker and complain and we murmur. We try to tell God, well, I would have not done it that way, Lord. I would have done it this way. His ways are so far reaching that man will never comprehend the fullness of the majesty and the deity of God. Now remember, the butler has gotten out of prison, but the butler has forgotten Joseph. So God has a means, a mode, a method to get Joseph where he wants to be in spite of the human frailty, the human fragility, and the human failure. Because the butler did fail, did he not? He said, I do remember my faults this day. I forgot this guy. And all Joseph had asked was, when you get back to Pharaoh's court, remember me. Now, he did remember Joseph, and it was at the absolute correct time. I sincerely believe any time before that would have still not been right. Why? God is in Canaan working on Joseph and all the other brothers. God is moving in so many ways. He's moving so many pieces of the puzzle. There are tens of thousands of pieces of puzzle to your heart. You don't know that. You don't understand the gravity of the puzzle in your life. Most of us are an enigma at the end of the day. We're just an enigma. There's something about us that's one area is skewed, another area is flawed, another area is well, another area is good, but it's a puzzle. When the Bible says in Genesis that God gave Joseph a coat of many colors, that word coat in the Hebrew is quilt. Do you remember the patch quilts? My grandma and her sister, my great aunt, Aunt Minnie, they made quilts. I watched them set for days and cut out square pieces of cloth about 6 inches in diameter. And then they would for days sit and stitch all those pieces of square patches together. And they would get it all sewn for one side. Then they would sew it all for another side. Then I remember going to Belk's department store in Mooresville with my grandma. She would buy rolls of cotton. Finished cotton, white, combed, beautiful cotton. Put that between the two covers of the quilt. And depending on how much cotton you put in the quilt, determined the weight, the heaviness. And I remember her making several quilts. They were so heavy. I mean, you get under that quilt, you didn't feel like you could get up. Loaded down. But it's called a patch quilt. That's what Jacob gave Joseph, was a patch quilt, a patch coat of many colors. What does that say to me? That says God's got a lot of pieces and parts to the puzzle of your life. And so it is with all of us. There's a lot of pieces. There's a lot of parts. Sometimes there's a missing piece, a missing part. God is putting it all together. God is in control of everything in your life. If you love him, you serve him, and you follow him, whatever transpires in your life, you should remain thankful for the Lord. You should remain thankful. Suddenly, hastily, God brings Joseph into Pharaoh's courts. You'll never figure out how God is going to promote you. I know you have your own vain thoughts. This is how God's going to do it. Yeah, man, I'm going to be in control. I'm going to be Uno number one. God's going to do this. You'll never figure out how God will get you where he wants you to be. So Joseph now stands before Pharaoh, the most powerful man in the entirety of the known world. Here's a kid that's been betrayed by his brothers, been lied upon by a woman in prison, and all of a sudden he is shuttled to Pharaoh's courts. I'm always impressed with Joseph's disposition, the humility that the man of God possessed. I know in Numbers 12 and 3, the Bible says that Moses was the meekest man upon the face of the earth. Meekness is never weakness. People will misunderstand you because you bear the fruit of meekness. They think, oh, he's weak. He's a pushover. Meekness is not weakness. It is a disposition. It is conciliatory, etc. But it also says that person has deep inner strength. That's why they're meek. So after the butler remembers Joseph, he's brought up to the court of Pharaoh. He's groomed, he's shaven, he's got on a new change of raiment. See, God's getting ready to coronate the man of God. Pharaoh said unto Joseph, I have dreamed a dream. There is none that can interpret it, and I have heard say of thee that thou canst understand a dream to interpret it. I love Joseph's response. Pharaoh, it is not in me. God shall give Pharaoh an answer of peace. When God's will is going to be perfected, that's one thing you can rest assured. There will be peace. I said there will be peace. Henry Gruber told me on several occasions concerning the will of God, if you have peace, go. If you don't have peace, don't go. See, that peace is the Prince of Peace saying, it's all right, I'm going with you. Joseph had such profound wisdom as a young man. He's going to give, in essence, Joseph the interpretation. Joseph says, it's God and myself. It's not in me. It's not me. It's not the personage. It's the God in me is what Joseph is saying. It's the presence of God in my life. He said, God shall give you an answer of peace. Why? Because remember, Pharaoh is troubled. Pharaoh is troubled. He doesn't understand these dreams. He knows they're significant. He knows they are powerful. He knows that those dreams are purposeful. But he can't get to the core of the matter. Genesis 41, verse 8. And it came to pass in the morning that his spirit was troubled. Here God gives a pagan, a heathen man, dreams, and the dreams are troubling. They are perplexing him. If God does that in non-believers, what is he doing in the believer's life? What is he doing in the believer's life? He's working something out for your betterment. So Pharaoh goes in to explain to Joseph the dreams. So he says to Joseph, in my dream, behold, I stood upon the bank of the river. And behold, there came up out of the river seven kine, or seven cows, fat-fleshed and well-favored, and they fed in a meadow. And behold, seven other kine came up after them, poor and very ill-favored, and lean-fleshed. They were skinny, they were puny, lean-fleshed, such as I never saw in all the land of Egypt for badness. I've never seen anything this bad. These cows were emaciated. And he says, and the lean and the ill-favored kine or cows did eat up the first seven fat cows. This is troubling. It should be the other way around, should it not? In the natural. And when they had eaten them up, it could not be known that they had eaten them. There was no change. When the skinny, emaciated cows ate the fat cows, the well-fleshed cows, there was no obvious change. But they were still ill-favored. As at the beginning, so I awoke. Nothing changed. They ate these huge, these well-fatted, fleshed cows and the skinny, lean cows. They didn't change after having eaten them. Then he said, I saw in my dream, and behold, seven ears came up in one stalk, full and good. Seven ears came up in one stalk. It's a general rule, having planted corn many times, you'll get three or four ears max. These stalks had seven ears of corn in them. Those are big, big, lush stalks of corn. And behold, seven ears withered, thin, blasted with the east wind, sprang up after them. And the thin ears devoured the seven good ears. And I told this unto the magicians, but there was none that could declare it to me. They could not explain what this was about. They could not explain what I'm dreaming. They could not explain. They could not discern. They could not interpret what's going on. And Joseph said unto Pharaoh, the dream of Pharaoh is one. They're synonymous. God has showed Pharaoh what he is about to do. God can show a pagan, heathen, unbeliever what he's going to do. You see, God can use anybody. He used a donkey to talk to Balaam. God can use anybody. God can use anything. But remember, God has a plan. God has a purpose. God hath showed Pharaoh what he is about to do. The seven good cows are 7 years, and the seven good ears are 7 years. The dream is one. The seven thin and ill-favored kine or cows that came up after them are 7 years, and the seven empty ears blasted with the east wind shall be 7 years of famine. So all of a sudden, God says this is a 14-year period. 7 years of blessing. 7 years of greatness. 7 years of famine. This is the thing which I have spoken unto Pharaoh. What God is about to do, he showeth unto Pharaoh. Behold, there come 7 years of great plenty throughout all the land of Egypt. There shall arise after them 7 years of famine, and all the plenty shall be forgotten in the land of Egypt, and the famine shall consume the land. Is that what happened under the Donald Trump administration? 4 years of plenty, and now we're headed into 4 years of famine. The famine, the dearth, the drought, the pain, the sorrow, the suffering will outweigh the 4 years of Donald Trump's presidency. Why? Because of sin. And the plenty shall not be known in the land by reason of that famine following. For it shall be very grievous. The word grievous in the Hebrew there, this is going to be a heavy thing, a difficult thing, an arduous thing. God wants everyone to be prepared, to be ready. And for that the dream was doubled unto Pharaoh twice, it is because the thing is established by God. The word established there in the Hebrew, the thing is prepared by God. God would supernaturally increase the seven first years, and the increase would be so unfathomable. There would be so, the soil, the land would just produce. God knows what he's doing. And for that the dream was doubled unto Pharaoh twice. It is because the thing is established. It is prepared by God. And God will shortly bring it to pass. Now therefore let Pharaoh look out a man discreet and wise and set him over the land of Egypt. Notice the profoundness of Joseph's wisdom. Joseph did not volunteer himself, though he was the interpreter. Look out a man that is discreet, a man that is wise, set him over the land of Egypt. Now, God is getting ready to do something mighty. God is getting ready to do something that could never happen in the natural. It was impossible for Joseph to become the viceroy. It was impossible for Joseph to become the prime minister. When God gets you where he wants you to be, he will promote you because he knows you are prepared for the calling. You are prepared for the responsibility. You are prepared for the mission. So many people want to tell me they're called of God, but when God puts them in the sausage grinder and begins to do the process, they don't like it, they resist it, and many times they walk away because the process is just too difficult. And so they never became what God willed for them to become. Because the easiest thing to do in life is quit. I'm a fighter by nature. I started fist fighting in grammar school in the sixth grade. Why my life started off like that after I moved in with my grandparents, I will never know. You've heard me share the story. I had either three or four fist fights in the sixth grade. I mean vicious fights. I suppose God was allowing that to groom me, to toughen me, to harden me, that I could endure the pain, the suffering, the sorrow, the adversity. No one can groom anyone like God can groom a man or a woman. He knows how to groom you for the task. Joseph, in his vast, enormous humility, he didn't say, hey, Pharaoh, buddy, I'm your man. No, no, no. He said, find you a man. Look out a man, discreet and wise. Let Pharaoh do this and let him appoint officers over the land and take up the fifth part of the land of Egypt in the seven plenteous years. So they took up 20% and they hid it. They stored it. They stocked it. 20%. That tells me something. You obey God. You tithe. You give in offerings. You're faithful in giving. You're faithful in giving. All you need is 20% to get you through the crisis. You may say, no, I have to have 100 because I've always had 100. God said, you don't need 100, just 20%. That's all you need to get you through the crisis. Remember, this famine is going to be so mighty, so powerful, that the good is going to be forgotten. Remember that. It's going to be so grievous. It's going to be so difficult that the plenty shall be forgotten in the land. I believe America is approaching a threshold wherein the blessings, the plenteous, the plentifulness of God, is going to be forgotten. Let Pharaoh do this. Let him appoint officers. The Hebrew says, overseers, to oversee the work, over the land, and take up the fifth part, 20% of the land of Egypt, and the seven plenteous years. And let them gather all the food of those good years that come, and lay up corn under the hand of Pharaoh, and let them keep food in the cities. And that food shall be for store. The 20% is to be stored to the land against the 7 years of famine, which shall be in the land of Egypt, that the land perish not through the famine. And the thing was good in the eyes of Pharaoh and in the eyes of all of his servants. You see, when you get clarity, when you get answers, that suddenly brings peace, a placidity, a certainty. Truth sets men free. The truth of the dreams comforted, gave peace to Pharaoh. He's a heathen. He's a pagan. He's an idolater. Yet God worked in his life. I'm not saying the man was saved. Do not misinterpret what I'm saying. I'm just saying God has a plan, and it's far greater than what you can imagine. And Pharaoh said unto his servants, Can we find such a man as this is? A man in whom the Spirit of God is? And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, For as much as God hath showed thee all this, there is none so discreet and wise as thou art. You see, we're told in 1 Peter 5 and 6, Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Some of you listening, there's an exaltation coming, but you must wait. James 4:10, Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift thee up. God wants to bless. God wants to put you in a place of authority, a place of leadership. But you don't like the process. If you don't like the process, you'll never get the promotion. I said, if you don't like the process, if you don't endure the process, you will never get the promotion. You'll hang around at the bottom. What humility Joseph possessed. What magnitude, what great humility. I love what we need to understand is, in essence, now watch this, Joseph was really over everybody and over everything. In essence, Pharaoh was under him. Genesis 41:40, Thou shalt be over my house. In essence, Joseph, you're going to rule over me because you got the answers. You're the servant of God. You have the answers. Thou shalt be over my house, and according unto thy word shall all my people be ruled. Only in the throne will I be greater than thou. That just simply tells me there was protocol, there was order. But Pharaoh understood. Pharaoh understood by the Holy Ghost, for he says, Can we find such a man as this is, a man in whom the Spirit of God is? Pharaoh knew the Holy Ghost of God was in Joseph's life, the Spirit of God. Thus he says, Thou shalt be over my house. How can you be over Pharaoh's house and be subservient? That's almost an oxymoron, but that's how God did it. Joseph could have walked in there the next day and said, we're changing plans. This is what we need to do now. That was the authority, the lordship God placed in Joseph's life. Don't ever discount what God is doing when you think he's doing nothing. Don't ever discount what God is doing when you think God is doing nothing. You think God has forgot you, he's left you, he's abandoned you, he has forsaken you, and you're on your own. Don't think that. Don't embrace that. Don't believe that. God is still working. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, See, I have set thee over all the land of Egypt. You're over everything, Joseph. There's nothing that you're not lord over. Pharaoh took off his ring from his hand and put it upon Joseph's hand and arrayed him in vestures of fine linen. Fine linen. The Hebrew says it was silk garments. And put a gold chain about his neck. Here we have another change of raiment because we're now being perfected. The number four speaks of light, L-I-G-H-T, light. It would be Joseph that would now become the light in all of Egypt because it was the light of God. John 8:12, Jesus said, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. And he made him, Joseph, to ride in the second chariot which he had. And they cried before him, bow the knee. And he made him ruler over all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, I am Pharaoh, and without thee shall no man lift up his hand or foot in all the land of Egypt. We don't grasp how highly exalted Joseph was. You see, God is watching, monitoring, observing everything that's taking place. Joseph, he leaves from the presence of Pharaoh and he begins to execute all the things that God has said was going to happen. Genesis 41:47, and in the seven plenteous years, the earth brought forth by handfuls, 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 handfuls. And he gathered up all the food of the 7 years which were in the land of Egypt and laid up the food in the cities. The food of the field which was round about every city laid he up in the same. This was, you might say, nationwide, the entirety of Egypt. And Joseph gathered corn as the sand of the sea, very much until he left numbering, for it was without number. You couldn't measure, you couldn't number the gravity of the plentifulness. But remember, when the famine does set in, Joseph said the plentifulness, the bountifulness, the enormity of the great 7 years of harvest will be forgotten. See, we're already forgetting the blessings that we experienced under Trump, are we not? Everybody was making money. Everybody's buying houses and cars and equipment. Everything's just going great, 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 great. Here's the problem. No one said anything about repentance. No one said anything about revival. We're just riding the tide. We're just having a good time. Everybody's prospering. Everybody's doing good. You see, prosperity can utterly destroy a nation. Just as quickly as there were 7 years of voluminous, copious amounts of food, suddenly it stopped. God turned the spigot off. This was God's plan. Why does God do all the things he's doing? Well, if you can have faith in God, God is going to allow this to affect the known world at that time. And it gets bad. It gets very bad. So Jacob has got to be out here looking for corn. And he hears rumor. He hears word there's corn in Egypt. You see, God, in his sovereignty, is going to bring Jacob, all of the family, the boys, they're all going to go down to Egypt. God's going to place it in Pharaoh's heart to give them Goshen, the most fertile part of the land. And Joseph and Jacob will be restored in their relationship. They will spend the last 17 years of Jacob's life together. And God's going to make Pharaoh house, clothe, and feed his people. Yes, they were slaves. They were servants. They were arduously working laboriously as slaves, making brick. But they're being housed, clothed, and fed. No wonder Paul said, having food and raiment, let us therewith be content. Some of you are not content. You'll get to the place sooner or later. Some of you listening, you'll get to the place you're content where you are. And once you reach that place of contentment, God will begin to move. God's not going to move when you're discontented. Some of you listening, you are so discontented. You're almost angry, you're almost bitter, you're upset, you feel like God is not fair, God is not kind, God is not unjust, God has forgotten me, he's abandoned me, he's left me. Why do you believe that stuff? He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. You don't get it yet. It's the process. It is the process that you loathe. You don't like the process. You don't like being laundered, washed, and dried, and ironed. You don't like it. If clothes could speak, what would they say? Don't put me in the washing machine. Don't take me out of that cold water and then put me in a dryer that's so hot and take me out and iron me or hang me up on the clothesline, hang me out to dry. Don't like the process, man. I don't like it. God has a will. God has a plan. God has a purpose. God is working all of this out. We get into Genesis chapter 42, and that's where we hear the Bible said that Jacob heard there was corn in Egypt. Now, the famine is just now setting in. And if I remember correctly, when Joseph finally does reveal himself, he says, you're about to enter into the third year, the five more years of this tempest. I don't know how long the tempest will continue in America. I'm not a prophet. I'm an evangelist at heart. I don't know. But I do know there's going to be a continuation of the tempest because the people that claim to even be godly people don't live godly lives. And so there's going to be suffering. And the suffering is to conform you to Jesus Christ. As I said some months ago, God's not trying to make you a better Episcopalian, an Anglican, a Baptist, a Methodist, a Presbyterian, a Church of God, Assemblies of God, United Pentecostal. God's not trying to make you a better one of them. God is trying to make you like him, that we are conformed to his image. We are conformed unto his likeness. And sadly, some of us have a lot of burrs. We have a lot of scrapes and burrs and anomalies on our lives. And God says, well, I got to get all that off that you might become a vessel of honor that is sanctified and meet for the master's use, for my purpose. The process is what people hate. I just can't get away from the word, the process. The process makes you a little bit salty, a little bit bitter, doesn't it? I don't like this. You know, God, you should have done this another way. God, you should have hastened. You should have moved in another way. He's always on time. He's always on time. And by the way, during this time of 7 years of famine, drought, dearth in the earth, yeah, it gets tough. Even the Bible said the money and the land failed. The money was no good. Money was no good. And the people sold themselves. See, that 7 years of famine was very, 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 very difficult. Genesis 47 and 15. And when money failed in the land of Egypt and in the land of Canaan, all the Egyptians came unto Joseph and said, give us bread, for why should we die in thy presence? For the money faileth. In other words, money was no good. They had money, but it was no good. Why? They had no food. Joseph said, give your cattle, and I will give you for your cattle if money fail. And they brought their cattle unto Joseph. And Joseph gave them bread in exchange for horses and for the flocks and for the cattle of the herds and for the asses. And he fed them with bread for all their cattle for that year. When that year was ended, they came unto him the second year and said unto him, we will not hide it from my Lord. How that our money is spent, my Lord also hath our herds of cattle. There is aught left, there's nothing left in the sight of my Lord, but our bodies and our lands. Wherefore shall we die before thine eyes, both we and our land? Buy us and our land for bread, and we and our land will be servants unto Pharaoh. And give us seed that we may live and not die, that the land be not desolate. So he gives them seed, but the seed is no good. Why? There's five more years of famine. But they're going to have seed once the famine is over with to start producing again. And Joseph brought all the land of Egypt for Pharaoh. For the Egyptians sold every man his field because the famine prevailed over them, so the land became Pharaoh's. Here's what you need to understand. The earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof, and all them that dwell therein. God owns it all. You see, when people die, that's why they have an estate. Their family receives the inheritance. But should the Lord tarry, that family will pass, and they'll pass down the inheritance to another generation. God is working. Don't get discouraged. Don't give up. Don't capitulate. Do not mumber, bicker, grumble, and complain. Keep marching on. You say, well, it doesn't look good at all right now. Quit walking by sight. 2 Corinthians 5 and 7, Paul said, we walk by faith and not by sight. Quit walking by what you see in the natural. That's not going to do you any good. Maybe you need to close your eyes, shut out the world, shut out the cares of this life. Focus on your relationship in the Lord. You know, there's a lot of people, I'm not going to listen to them. They're nothing but doom and gloom, and they've said it for 30 years. This is the end, this is the end, this is the end. When God began to transition me back in 1994, showed me the pre-tribulation rapture was a fallacy. I thought I would be in a position, a place of telling people, of warning people, getting people ready. And I have been somewhat, but not to the level I thought. But there's coming a day when people are going to want to know the truth no matter what, and they're willing to sacrifice everything to know the truth. And they're going to be looking for answers. They're going to be looking for guidance. I forget who it was, Raven Hill, one of the great patriarchs in modern Christianity, said all of a sudden God's going to birth and raise up a bunch of people, and the world and the church denominations and leaders are going to say, well, where did you come from? You see, God's grooming, preparing people even now. God is preparing, and I'm going to use the word again, process/preparing. The process. The process. Nothing is going to happen in the earth without God allowing it. If it's God's will, it'll come to pass in just that manner. And God has showed us, God has given us so much through the written word of God. We've seen so much in the word of God. Just enormous amounts of things in the scriptures, in the word of God. And there's nothing that God is not controlling. I shared this verse weeks ago, Lamentations 3 and 37. Who is he that saith, and it cometh to pass when the Lord commandeth it not? In other words, there's nothing that God does not allow to take place or not allow. He has his hand on the throttle. And so you've got to believe in the process. You know, great athletes are born with a lot of talent. But that teacher, that athletic director comes along and enhances, improves their skills off the charts. And, of course, the student thinks he's already arrived. He's already at the top of his game. He's nowhere near the top of his game, but he thinks he is. And the athletic director sees vast potential. But, you know, a lot of people have a lot of potential, but it comes to naught because they don't surrender and submit. I know people who have vast talents, but they stand at the back of the line because they do not submit to the process. You don't have to have a lot of talent when God's involved. But let God get a hold of your life, and God can exalt you, venerate you, position you, bring you to a place that you could have never, ever, 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 ever imagined. As it's been said, and I've said it, if you ever ride down the road and you see a turtle sitting on top of a fence post, he didn't get there by himself. Somebody put him there. And when you get to the place where God wants you, you must understand it is God who put you there. And I believe with all certainty, Joseph knew it was God that put him there. Thus, he never sought. He never sought. We don't see where he prayed for authority, lordship, power, control. He never prayed for that. I'll tell you what Joseph did do. He remained faithful through it all. So it is today. God is forever faithful through it all and everything. I pray the last 2 days you have been encouraged, you have been strengthened, you have been lifted up by the word of the Lord. Keep trusting God. Surrender to the process. You'll be surprised where God will place you, where God will put you when you get to the right disposition that you need to be to handle the assignment. See, there are many assignments. God has a problem, though. Vessels of honor. I believe that is more relevant today than ever before. Vessels of honor that are sanctified and meet for the master's use. Becoming more difficult for God to have what he needs in his kingdom. God bless you. I'll be back here next week, New Year's 2023. Again, let me encourage you. We do have the DVDs of the revival meeting for a love gift of $55. It's 6 DVDs and 2 audio CDs, all in one package. Write us at The Voice of Evangelism, Post Office Box 502, Kaiser, North Carolina 28020. Or visit our website and order there online. Have a great week, what's left of it. I'll see you next year. God willing, I'll be coming to you with the new series, Rediscovering the Word of God. God bless you. Have a great week, what's left. I'll see you next week in the Lord. Amen.
The Voice of Evangelism with David Langford is brought to you by the faithful listeners and supporters throughout America. If you're looking for an uncompromising message, we invite you to tune in each week to The Voice of Evangelism. For more information, write to The Voice of Evangelism at P.O. Box 502, Kaiser, North Carolina 28020. That's P.O. Box 502, Kaiser, North Carolina 28020.